Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Video version's coming out a little bit later today. I blame Lizette, D'Anthony.
Yeah, she's gone.
Is she?
I haven't heard from her.
I haven't either. No, I haven't heard from Lizette Sandoval, but they are doing construction about a half mile up the road, and it's aggressive. This is a massive highway that is going in here with overpasses and everything else, and I'm worried it's going to collapse. That's all I'm saying. It's been a crazy day for bridges and whatnot, overpasses and everything else. D'Anthony, who do we have on the show today?
We have General Tony.
Ta-ta!
Nope. General Tata.
Ta-ta!
He writes these books. We had him on about a year ago.
I know.
And you fucked his name up then, too.
I love it. No, because I love Ta-ta. So after we did that show, obviously 80% of our listeners are military and first responder. And I think we chatted about that last time you were here. And they were like, Ross, you're living my dream. You just called him what I wish I could call him to his face and get away with it. And because I was going to go further, if I was a private who came up to you and you were a general, obviously you're retired now, but let's say you were still rocking and I came up to you and I said, General Tata, I don't feel like my hair is still being regulation for me to complete my task today. What would you say to me?
I'd say drop and give me 20, man.
And I would say, no, I don't have 20 to give you. I need some more money or I got to get out of here.
In that case, he may beat you to death with an AR-670-1.
Right. Okay.
Which is where the grooming standards are found.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to know. You know, I wanted to know and I wanted to see where your head's at.
I've been called worse four-letter words.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you have.
Right.
What's the worst one off the top of your head? Fuck.
You're talking to the
former undersecretary.
But I'm going four letters, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, fuck, cunts is probably one of them.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Work is a four-letter word for me. I don't like it.
No, yeah. No, he doesn't. He sure doesn't. You got a new book out. Look at this, man. Last time you were here, you had a book out. You're fucking unbelievable.
One a year. That's my rhythm. This is book 16.
Book 16.
Phalanx Code.
The third in this series.
Third in this series.
Garrett Sinclair series.
So it's out now, but you guys already sold out of copies, and St. Martin's Press is doing another run already?
Yep, they had to do another print run. So there's some out there. Even if you go to Amazon today, it says like six left in the store or whatever.
It usually takes them about 3 weeks to crank out that new run, too.
Yeah, it does,
right?
Yeah.
Kind of a pain in the dick.
Yeah, there's plenty out there, though. BarnesandNoble.com, bookstores, indie bookstores, wherever books are sold.
They'll be out there, yeah. And the audiobooks still available as well, obviously, if you're into that.
Who does your audiobooks?
Well, Macmillan, St. Martin's Press.
Do you know the guy, though? Who's the voice?
Oh, yeah. David Troxell is his name, or Brian Troxell's his name. And he does a good job. They send me six or seven auditions at the start of a new series, and I pick a guy, and I listen to him, and I say, okay, I like this one.
It's weird you haven't picked me, because I think if I was reading this book, and I'll just go to any page
you got
to
get
here,
the fucking name right first.
I didn't pronounce the name. You pronounced the name. Let's just pick one page here if I was going to read it in the voice from earlier. The first investor? Well, Coop led an entire double life, it seemed. His long absences made sense now. That's a lot more exciting than whatever that guy
no,
could
No, you're
do.
Hired. I'm going to fire my...
So just give me for the next one. And I can read the entire book in that. Yeah. And you're welcome. I think it's a whole new audience you could bring in.
I mean, I didn't know I'd be walking away from here with a new narrator.
Well, look, we're not just podcast hosts.
Right. Yeah, no, that's
we're also entrepreneurs, and I'm helping you with your small business
right
now.
Yeah.
It's great having you back on the show, especially with what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, what a coincidence this shit goes down and we have the former Transpo secretary from North Carolina on the show.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think he may have been involved.
I hate to say you weren't there. You're here.
If you ask MSNBC, they'd be like, oh, yeah, he's definitely involved.
It was
right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah. So, Bob, let's see this footage here from this Baltimore bridge.
We're talking about
going down.
Was it 695?
Yeah.
Patapsco Bridge, which, by the way, if you've ever seen The Wire, Patapsco Terminal is where they fucking operated out of, right?
Yeah.
So this is The Wire, basically. This is the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Same here. So can you describe to the audience, General, what we're seeing here and what might have gone on? Because everybody's trying to figure this out right
now. So you got a ship, a container ship, a big ship with containers on top, heading, supposed to be going between the pylons of the bridge. There's a very tall bridge that gets into the Marine Terminal in Baltimore. He's leaving the terminal to go into the Chesapeake Bay and get out to sea to go to Sri Lanka. And you can see in the video.
Yeah, play the video, Bob.
Yeah. So
they're saying that it lost propulsion.
Yeah.
And
you'll see the lights flicker. Supposedly, yeah, and you see the lights flickering a little bit there, and
ooh, holy shit!
Yeah, it hits the pylon instead of going through the pass, right? And you know, the first report is always wrong. That's the combat. So a lot of people are saying, well, he called Mayday, which I assume he did. They were able to stop some traffic before.
This is the better.
It got onto the bridge. There was some traffic on the bridge. There were construction crews on the bridge that fell in the water.
Correct. About 12 workers, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And here's the other video here. And it appears the lights are off in this boat, or they go off right before hitting.
Yeah. One of the rumors is that it lost power. That's one of the rumors. So did it lose power because of a maintenance issue? Mm-hmm. Was it a cyber issue? A cyber attack?
Cyber attack, yeah.
Yeah. There's another rumor out there that a Ukrainian captain was driving this thing, but he just left, and so somebody else was. Now, important to note,
meaning they had like an inexperienced driver, or what do you?
Well, I would bet money that all of these ships have harbor pilots that drive these boats all the way out to the Chesapeake Bay, and they get off in Virginia Beach. A boat comes out and picks them up.
Once they're clear of all the mooring procedures and all that
shit. Once it's clear of the Chesapeake Bay, because it's a tough navigation through Baltimore Harbor or whichever, Hampton Roads, wherever. But to get through the Bay Bridge Tunnel passage lanes, you've got the one that goes Hampton Roads, one that goes up Chesapeake Bay. So what you're seeing is a really significant accident that we'll learn more about. I tweeted out that the transportation department, Mayor Pete and all his buddies, they need to get on top of this. For some reason, DHS is their operations room is handling this. They put out a very quick statement saying no sign of terrorism.
Correct.
I don't know how you know that, right? I mean, like, maybe they don't have a sign yet, but that boat was not headed toward the middle of the goalposts. There, it was headed toward one of the goalposts, and
it seemed like a direct hit, was turned
right
to drive into it, not vice versa of it drifted off course.
Yeah, so my vote is out on what's going on here. Having dealt in transportation, accidents happen, people make mistakes, but this boat was coming out of port. It was coming out of the berth. It wasn't moving that fast.
Usually you got your more experienced boat driver in that part of the travel because they got to navigate this bullshit.
You have a paid pilot that all he does is drive boats out of the harbor down to the Chesapeake Bay.
But you can see the power go out on this bad boy. So it's like, who knows? But it is like it didn't adjust.
Though, it's in the wrong spot.
It's in the wrong spot either way. Yeah, like it should be going through the middle, not coming at it from the side.
Right. Exactly.
What about this thick smoke that's coming?
That's
out
when
of
they
there?
Re-engaged the engine. that thick smoke is when what that is, but too late, obviously. But yeah, it's weird. I mean, it looks like he's coming in from an angle. Maybe he's coming off those shipping lanes over to the left, camera side. But still, yeah, you would think you would be way more in the middle of those two beams right there. So that seems like no need to necessarily imply terrorism right now, but that's definitely incompetence right there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you who that statement came from, by the way, General. So there's absolutely no indication that this is any form of terrorism, that this was done on purpose. And this is according to the Baltimore Police Commissioner, Richard Worley. So, you know, obviously he's there and he's got some inside info.
Well, here's the real problem. I just searched Pete Buttigieg's name, right? And then click on the news tab on Google. And there's no news from him yet today. Now, this is the man that's in charge of this federally. Why isn't he on the news right now talking about it?
Exactly. And then how does that work? Does the White House and the Secretary of Transportation, which is Pete Buttigieg, should he be there? Should he make a comment?
Yeah. So if we had leadership in the White House or in DOT or anywhere in this administration, go there, make a statement, talk to the people, be present. Think Bush on 9/11 on the mound with the firemen, right? You know, that visible kind of leadership. This is a tragic event. Think about all of the months now, years of rebuilding this bridge, the traffic going through there, the jobs lost, the jobs impacted, the families impacted. This is not just, you know, a one-time tragedy here. It's going to have ripple effects everywhere. But again, we're bereft of leadership. And remember the East Palestine train derailment. Yep. Trump went there, but they didn't. You know, Trump handed out water and went up there, and that's leadership, boots on the ground. You got to be at the decisive point, like Patton at the crossroads.
Yeah. And Baltimore's not that far from D.C., let's face it. I mean, that's an easy one.
Yeah,
it's not like you're going to San Diego and you're like, well, I'll get there when I can.
Unless he's on paternity leave or maternity leave, whatever.
You know. I can't figure out which one. Did he have his legs up in the stirrups? Did he give birth or the other one?
It's hard to say.
Tough call.
I think they were both in stirrups across the room from each other.
Oh, holding hands and kind of pushing together.
Yeah, maybe. Or
while the surrogate lifted
toes,
the baby.
Maybe.
Like,
well,
Lion
the baby,
King.
They bought the baby.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So the surrogate lifted up like Lion King.
Yeah. You just take some juice from a fruit and put a cross in their forehead or whatever.
Yeah, you're good to go. It's Ash Wednesday. But this was the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And it says the collapse here will spark U.S. food and car supply issues, as well as strengthen calls to cut foreign imports. Was this what was on that boat was foreign imports?
That's a Singaporean vessel, yeah. Synergy Group, I think is the name of the company. But I don't know what was on it.
Well,
I
mean, didn't you say it was leaving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it could have been. I don't know if it was leaving with stuff from us because we ship shit out to you. So hard to say. Usually boats will drop off and pick up. They don't just come here empty.
So they're saying widespread supply chain disruption. Yet again.
Well, yeah, so there are only essentially back roads out of the Patapsco terminal, aside from 95, that 95 bridge right there, right? So that means like a typical port like that would send out a truck full of one or multiple containers every 30 to 45 seconds, typically. It's kind of their, like during their peak movement areas. It's going to be five. I mean, who knows how long? I don't know. I'm not a traffic expert, but it's going to take way longer now. That they don't just jump immediately on the freeway right there.
Yeah, and they're also saying the automobile and agricultural sectors will most likely be impacted by this because building a bridge isn't easy. That's not an overnight thing. So how do you, obviously working for North Carolina, how do you repair this in a quick manner, and how long does it take to repair a bridge like that?
It'll be a few years till this bridge is repaired or rebuilt. Honestly, they got to rebuild. They got to build a new bridge. But the first step is obviously rescue recovery that's going on right now. Then they got to salvage all the steel from underneath to make sure the channel is clear so ships can get through. And then and that's several months of operations with boats getting in there and lifting that steel up and moving it and salvaging it and moving it off.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you've got to figure out a way, as Dan was saying, a way to get into the backside of the port. I mean, this is where on the East Coast, a good portion of the new cars come into, right? And so that's the impact on the auto industry. And a lot of the fish comes in through there for the north, you know, up in Pennsylvania and all of that for restaurants. And so the ports along the East Coast, like Norfolk and Wilmington, North Carolina, and others, will, I think, see a little influx in business to the extent that they can handle it to be able to absorb what this is going to do. But it's, so it'll create jobs elsewhere, but it'll, or enhance jobs, but it's going to impact Baltimore, which already has, you know, some serious employment issues going on in its downtown. So, but then, you know, once you've salvaged all that stuff, you're simultaneously doing a workaround so that trucks can get in to move whatever's left there or whatever can then come in once you get the channel clear. And then you're going to have, you know, a bridge building request for proposals from developers that build bridges, and money will be allotted, and then they'll start building. And the question is, can you do safe passage as they're building this bridge until the final span is put in there, and then they come through? So there's a lot to think through. I don't know that Buttigieg has any experience with this kind of thing, or you know, I'm sure there are smart people in Maryland that can figure this out. But it's, you know, when I was Secretary of Transportation in North Carolina, I had 12,500 bridges. We had bridges that were this long going from over Oregon Inlet, from the, you know, in the Outer Banks, to bridges that were small. And this was, remember that Minneapolis bridge collapse, right?
Yep.
You know, about 10 years ago. We got money from the General Assembly. We prioritized bridges. We had red, yellow, green, red being the most important. We had teams of engineers going and doing a jump master parachute inspection of those bridges, fixing them and moving to the next one, and trying to help. And obviously, I don't think this had anything to do with the state of repair of the bridge. They were obviously doing maintenance on the bridge.
Well, I mean, how much maintenance can you do to stop a...
Right, exactly.
Like a 700-foot boat from smashing into one of your pylons.
And, you know, this has happened before. I want to say either Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel or Bay Bridge Tunnel in Hampton Roads, Virginia, a ship hit a pylon. So this is not a unique incident. It's rare, but it's not a unique incident.
It's weird to me that we haven't immediately seen Buttigieg on TV, though, because he should be on location, establish leadership there, and then second – from my perspective, because I did emergency management for a little bit, the first thing I do is ask my entire team, make a list of everything that needs to happen to get this functional again, and identify all the pieces of red tape that we can cut, because that's a problem, right? That's permitting, all that other bullshit, how to have assets in place nearby, things like that. Like, that's your job, is to direct traffic, basically. You know what I mean?
Yep.
When you're in a leadership position like that, or at least instruct your people to do it.
But Dan, you're talking from a practical, realistic leadership point of view. Buttigieg is none of that. He's an arrogant, sanctimonious person who's going to wait to figure out how he should play this for domestic political purposes.
Yeah, like how many?
That's all that matters.
How many trans people of color does it take to rebuild a bridge?
Right. Oh, well, I mean, I know you're joking, but
I'm not. I'm not serious. Yeah. That's literally. I'm sure they've fucking.
The White House is working on that now. The bridge itself is a mile and a half long, and experts are saying this is going to take, you know, years at this point.
I mean, it'll take a minimum of 6 to 12 months just to repair the thing. And you're talking about, like, we saw what happened with Suez Canal, right? That got fixed, but we saw another 18 months of bullshit after that.
Right.
So imagine this kind of port as well domestically. This isn't just imports, it's exports as well. We export, like, out of that port, I think 18,000 tons of shit a year out of that one port right there, which is not, it's like a top 20 port, but it's not one of the biggest
ones.
It's
the top 20. Baltimore, I mean, it's top 20.
Port. It's like, this is a problem. There's something like 40,000 or 40 million tons of product comes in to that port a year as well, right? And I don't know, Norfolk's bigger, but I don't know how much Wilmington can handle, to be honest.
Yeah, right.
Charleston
right.
might be able to handle some.
Yeah, well, I've got,
but I'm just talking about on the 95
Wilmington port. I've got cold storage facility that I'm involved with down there. We 100,000 square feet of cold storage. Smithfield Foods fills us up every week, and then we send a ship to the Pacific out of it. It's small, but when I was Secretary of Transportation, we widened the turning basin so post-Panamax ships could get in there and turn around, and we deepened the channel of the Cape Fear River. So two things we did. So they can take on some of these bigger ships now, Jacksonville, Savannah, Charleston can all pull in. But, you know, now you got trucks driving extra distance, you're burning fuel costs, more fuel, you know, and so it drives up prices.
It also affects traffic on the 95 corridor, obviously, right?
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of shit going on there. And the guy that was a mayor of South Bend, Indiana is not in any way qualified.
Yeah, no, he's not thinking about all this. I can promise you that.
No. By the way, in Wilmington, one of my first visits was to a bridge there where One Tree Hill, the opening was filmed.
Yeah.
And
did you jump?
No, you dribble a basketball through your legs and then walk across the bridge, and then you get the video, and I obviously scored it to the theme song of One Tree Hill. I don't know if you built that bridge, but if you did, congratulations to you, sir.
Well, I don't have any idea if I did either. But
big fan of that show.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to Buttigieg here. This is the problem when you hire people for political reasons that have no skill or talents in this particular job, and you're fucked.
Yeah, I think he'll tell you that his transportation experience, he drove a Humvee in Afghanistan, and he built a
wait, he was a lieutenant. He didn't drive a Humvee.
He said he drove.
Drove that Humvee.
He said he drove a Humvee, and he built a bike path in South Bend. So,
oh, boy.
Multimodal.
Yeah, so you're good. Yeah.
So,
okay, well, you're an infantry guy and a general. Did you ever, as an officer, drive Humvees around?
I don't
think that's a thing. What was he? Was he PsyOps or some shit? What did he do? I don't remember. Intel, maybe? Yeah, like, an Intel officer's not driving.
He was a Navy guy, wasn't he?
I think so. They don't drive anywhere.
You
never see an officer driving a vehicle. I don't think I've ever seen
that. Might have been like a Burger King down the road or something.
Did he have the keys to the Humvee, you think? Or
no.
Yeah, but watching all of this unfold today, it's a quick drive over there. He should be out there, at least give a speech, meet with people on the ground, and give the pointy photos. You know, you got to put a hard hat on and then look like you're pointing somewhere for the newspapers and all
that
stuff.
Right.
It at least makes people feel better that the government is trying to do something.
Well, I'll tell you, here's a good example. I was actually Secretary of Transportation, North Carolina, December, 14-ish. My engineer from the Outer Banks comes into me and says, "Sir, the Bonner Bridge, which is like this 3-mile bridge that spanned Oregon Inlet, which Pamlico Sound and the Atlantic Ocean, washing two times a day through there, high tide, low tide. And they had one span that had 9 pylons out of 10 that were scour critical, meaning below 20 feet of sand around the pylon. And they said, you know, we got to do something about this. So I recommend in a few days, you know, we huddle up and all that. And I said, time out. School bus with your kids on it on that pylon, what are you doing? Sir, we need to shut down the bridge. I said, I thought so. And so I called in the board member and I just said, we're shutting this bridge down right now. And that's a significant deal because there were trucks on Hatteras Island that take that bridge that were doing deliveries. Mm-hmm. There were teachers off Hatteras Island, for example, or business people. And there's only one way there, that bridge.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, I said, get the ferries mobilized, start, you know, the old ferry landings. Let's get them, you know, rehearse them and all that. But we shut down right then.
He means boats, not the gay community.
Got it. Because that's what Buttigieg is doing right now. He's getting the ferries mobilized.
I walked right into that
one. Sure did. Welcome to Drinker Bros.
And then the next day, I fly out to Dare County, and I hold a press conference that next day because we worked all the logistics that night. And I had, you know, people were mad, but also people were understood. And I said, listen, we've got these three vessels that carry people and cars called ferries. They're going to, you know, we're cleaning up, we're getting people off, getting people on and all of that. But this bridge is unsafe. And until I can get enough sand around this pylon, we're going to keep it closed. And it just so happened there was a dredge in there. We started pumping sand. A week later, we opened it. But that day, I took every sling and arrow from every reporter that came down. It was really more of a Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Hampton Roads issue. That's like a big vacation spot there.
Yeah.
But so that's, to me, leadership. You go to the point of the issue and you answer the questions. Or you learn about it. Like Buttigieg should be there asking questions and get the media there. Get the people to understand what's going on in real time. You have got that capability today, but this administration is too focused on managing the message and making sure that it's consistent with the narrative, mm-hmm. right? Because they don't want – what if there was some kind of weird thing that happened? What if it's not just an accident? They don't want that to break real time without them being able to spin it. That's right. The real issue.
Yeah, and then, like, ask questions and then turn around to your experts and say, how do we answer that question?
Exactly.
It's not like I expect Pete Buttigieg to be an expert in all things transportation.
Of course.
You got to be a fucking leader to be in that job.
Right.
God damn it. I mean, what the hell are we doing here? It's like, you can't be completely incompetent. Like, the CEO... Elon Musk isn't a master coder, right? Like, with PayPal or with Twitter now and these tech companies he's run, he's not an engineer. He doesn't know how to build a fucking rocket ship by himself. Mm-hmm. He knows how to manage people to get that shit done. That's your job, right? So you ask smart questions and you let experts fucking do shit and you evaluate to make sure they're actually experts. That those are parts of management that are completely missing in this administration. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. And he and I talked about it on Citizen earlier, actually, but this is the worst group of secretaries, cabinet level secretaries we have ever had in this country. Or at least maybe this is the first time we paid attention to how shitty they are, because Mayorkas sucks. Blinken's a fucking retarded person. Yep. He doesn't know anything. You know what I mean? Lloyd Austin doesn't. He's just like kind of nods. Yeah. He's an empty suit.
And
like,
he went out to, what, he gets cancer treatment, didn't tell the president.
Yeah.
He was gone for a week magically.
So you were undersecretary defense for policy for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the procedure? Do you just like,
yeah,
you go do your stuff and then call the president 2 weeks later and be like, hey, by the way, I missed the last 2 weeks. Sorry, bud.
That's
I ain't going to be here. You understand, right?
I use Ross's voice when I say, well, I'm leaving. So that's number three job in the Pentagon, SecDef, DepSecDef, Undersecretary for Policy. In January 21, right before transition and all that, I went 2 weeks. I had six or seven countries I was visiting, signing big defense deals. And
this is when Kushner was knocking down all those Middle East peace deals as well.
Oh, gotcha.
Trump was trying to fix as much shit as he could.
Like,
before
it was
out.
A joint, synchronized effort.
How's the Middle East doing now?
Well, you talk to Jake Sullivan, it's never been more peaceful. But
fiery, but mostly peaceful. Right?
Mostly peaceful.
Yeah. So before I went on that trip, I had to sign a document, my deputy signed a document, and my office manager signed the document saying, this transition is happening, Tata's leaving, Williams is going to be the dude, and I'm going to send this out to everybody, and that was the policy according to Reg XYZ. Lloyd Austin gets up in Congress and says there were no pre-existing policies on this, and so we now created and tightened this gap up. I'm like, first of all, it's common sense. Tell the president what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, when I took – I was – my battalion deployed to Haiti after the earthquake, and I was a rear detachment commander because I was getting ready to get out. There had to be a memorandum of record transferring authority of the property book and leadership from my captain to me. As a fucking a company in the U.S. military, not the goddamn Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, but your point is Lloyd Austin spent 40 years in the military. Yeah. So instinct for him to, like, hey, boss, I got some cancer treatment going on here, and I need to take a few days.
Yeah.
And I pray for him. I know him well. I hope he recovers. But it's inexcusable what he did. And the media treats it like with kid gloves. But imagine if Trump were president and I was SecDef and I had to go into the hospital and I forgot to tell him.
You're fired. Yeah, you'd be gone.
Yeah.
You'd be gone. That's
right.
It.
Right.
But he's still there. And so is the rest of this these cabinet positions here. And I'll go back to 2020 on this. When Biden was running, they had to buy out Buttigieg. They had to buy out Buttigieg. Who else was Bernie Sanders and then Klobuchar?
And because, Harris.
Yes, because Biden was behind and hadn't won a primary, and South Carolina was all or nothing. He was out of money. He ends up magically winning South Carolina, and it was a miracle at that point.
Right.
That was on a Saturday. Sunday is when Buttigieg, Klobuchar, and everybody else got bought out of the race, and then they had to give them these positions.
Right. Yeah, I think they gave her free Midwestern woman haircuts for life.
Forever. Yeah, great clips. Yeah, she got a great clips deal.
That's
out of that.
A good deal.
It's not a bad one.
It's a no-fuss haircut that's going to save you hours every single morning, and some might say that it was worth it.
Hey, time is the only resource you can't make more of, my man.
It sure is. So. And I say it every single day.
Yeah, well, as you're approaching your late 60s.
Well, I'm 34 years old, tender age, you know, babe in the woods, some might say, deer in headlights, whatever you want to call it. But for you, who would you put in here and who should be hired for a position like this? One would think it would be somebody with qualifications like you have of actually running a state and running transportation for an entire state.
Yeah, well, you would look at some the state transportation executives, some of the larger states. If you're a Democrat, pull from a Democrat state, but somebody that has leadership and some exposure to taking a governor's vision, for example, and implementing it at the state level. Because what you do at that level, what you're supposed to do, is take the president's vision and then implement that at the federal level. And that, I know that's a simple concept, but people don't get it. And this guy Buttigieg, I guess, DOT, it can be kind of a backwater at times, but it's, if you don't do it right, it becomes front and center. And not showing up at East Palestine, whatever he's doing today, he should be doing something else. He should be in Baltimore meeting with people and being out front on this. And there's been other tragedies. This whole Boeing thing, the FAA works for him. He's done nothing. He's said nothing about Boeing.
Right.
Plane parts falling off and all of that, just to reassure the public, right? That's the job of some of these federal. They can't do but so much in many cases. But you do have a pulpit that's set up there and say, I've sat down with Boeing. I've talked to them. We're going to look at X, Y, and Z, and we're going to make sure everything's screwed on tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to the other part about executing the commander-in-chief, whether it's the governor, president, whatever, his vision, this is standard business, right? Every business in the world has a every good business has a mission statement. At Black Rifle, our mission statement was we provide coffee and culture to people that love America. Mm-hmm. And we would instruct our employees, anytime you have a question about what to do in a situation that's not like a technical question, ask yourself, do my actions support this mission? Right? That's the whole point of having the mission statement. It isn't about putting out a press release and telling the public what your mission statement is. It's for the internal internal workings of your company. So what exactly has the Biden administration told Pete Buttigieg about transportation in this country to get this behavior? It's a question that I think is important to ask, right?
Well, there is a statement that is trending right now. Bob, you can pull up Pete Buttigieg on Twitter. He's currently trending.
Oh, shit. It only took him 12 hours to get on TV.
No. This is for... So play that second clip down right there, Bob.
I think I know.
Yeah, this clip is on fire right now. I don't remember it. Play it for the audience real quick.
If an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly Black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or that would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, but that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. I don't think we have anything to lose by confronting that.
Oh, the bridge was racist. That's why they took it out. I see. Well, hey, now that we know that the bridge was racist.
Dealing with it, which is why the reconnecting communities, that $1 billion, is something we want to get to work right away.
Great.
He's a legit retarded person.
Yeah.
Man. But what we found out was that bridges are racist, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah, people are saying he's currently using gay magic, so they're working on a spell for the bridge here on Twitter.
I'm sure the comment section on these posts are pretty good.
Yeah, the U.S. Ministry of Truth is saying that he's going to address the Baltimore Bridge collapse as soon as he's done chest feeding. So that'll be in a couple hours probably. So he is the mom in that relationship, I guess. But he hasn't been anywhere. So this is nuts to me.
How is it possible?
I mean, this is so many hours later.
Yeah, like if there was...
It's happened at 4:30 in the morning. It's currently 3:45 there.
If there was anything else going on under anybody else's department, like if there had been, if there are hostages in Iran, American hostages in Iran right now, Blinken would be on TV. He'd probably be saying some dumb shit, but he would be on TV, right?
One would imagine.
Talking about something.
Yeah.
So what the fuck? Like, this is crazy. It's been assault, like literal assaults on the supply chain from Houthis and so on in the South China Sea as well. And then there's been actual like incompetence disasters and then some force majeure disasters. And you don't see this dude.
No.
Like, what the fuck is going on here? I don't understand this.
I don't either.
Like the good, you shouldn't know who the Secretary of Transportation is
ever.
Unless there is an emergency. But then you should definitely know who the fuck it is.
Like we lived in North Carolina. If you hear that name, something fucked up happens.
Right.
And you didn't do your job.
Right.
The reason why we don't know your name in that capacity is because you didn't fuck anything up. We know his name because he's not doing a goddamn thing out
right.
there. So
right.
It just keeps
He's
getting
got
worse.
One job. That's just appear on TV, say everything's going to be okay. It's a disaster, but here are the steps we're going to take to fix it.
Yep.
It's not hard.
No. Not at all. A little bit of breaking news here. Dan, RFK did choose his VP officially. Nicole Shanahan is her name here. Pull her up. Was this the woman that was married to the tech billionaire?
Yeah, Sergey Brin's ex-wife.
Is it?
Yeah,
is that who this is?
Yeah, she's like... She was born in like 1986.
Great.
So she's...
30? 38. 38, yeah. Throw her in. I think it's fine.
Which is fine. 38. She's old enough, technically. 35 is the starting point for that. She's mostly known for banging a dude that got rich.
Right. And now she got divorced and has half his money. But I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, that he's having trouble with funding and donors and all that stuff. This certainly solves the issue. However, this isn't a VP candidate that you would get excited about. So I don't know. How do you think this next election is going to shake out?
Well, I'm prayerful that Trump wins. Mm-hmm. The lawfare, the media manipulation going on right now is, I think, something we've never seen in this country. And we are approaching, in my point of view, a tipping point in the country where you see all the crazy bullshit going on, whether it's from electric vehicles to the absence of the rule of law or adjusting the rule of law to prosecute and persecute your political enemies, Peter Navarro going to jail for something Eric Holder did Hunter Biden has done and not gone to jail for, the selective prosecution, even the Hur report coming out and saying, yeah, Biden had shit everywhere, you know, 9 different places of classified documents. He knew they were classified. He knew they were wrong. He wasn't authorized to take them when he took them. But he's just an old guy, and a jury's not going to find him guilty. Meanwhile, Trump had him locked in a room in Mar-a-Lago under Secret Service protection, but he's guilty, and we need to prosecute him. But I think I'm hopeful. I was talking to Dan earlier on Citizen about this. I'm hopeful that the sort of the independents in the middle that had kind of abandoned Trump see that this is not the America that we want, and that if Biden is reelected, he and all these crazies that we're talking about will take that as a validation of what they're doing and double down, and the bullshit will get worse, and we really don't have... I don't know that we can come back from that.
I don't either. And once you get away with it, if it's proven on a national level like this, on a global scale, then it's bulls on parade. You can keep doing and getting away with
Especially
it.
Especially if you have the entire media apparatus on your side.
Right.
So you know Ronald McDaniel got fired this morning by NBC, right?
I just read that right
Not
now.
Not for cause.
Show this morning.
Well, unless you consider being Republican cause.
That's it.
Right. She got fired because people were mad she was Republican.
Yeah.
Right.
At a broadcast network news organization fired somebody for being part of a political party.
And for those wild, of us who are Republican, didn't like her anyway. So it was like, she's not even really Republican.
I was so happy when she was gone. And I thought she was perfect for MSNBC. She's kind of a moron. But, you know, at the end of the day, you can't have any diversity of thought within that narrative, because what all these people are concerned about is breaking the narrative. That's why Buttigieg isn't at the bridge, because they don't know what happened, right? And if there's any information that's going to break the narrative, they want to get that first, and they want to reshape it, and they want to make sure the narrative stays the same. And that's why Buttigieg isn't anywhere. That's why Blinken isn't anywhere. That's why Austin anywhere. They got to make sure that narrative is always held true.
General, you've been on the show before. You know we got some sponsors that put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. It's half off. Oh, why? It's like that bridge in Baltimore. It's half off right now. Nailed it. Had to. Sorry. Too soon, too late. You be the judge of that, but it's never too soon to get a new mattress out there. Best in the biz at GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Best pillows, best mattresses, best sheets. I love my adjustable base. I can never go back to sleeping without that goddamn thing there. And now they've got mattresses for RVs. They're taking over the world. Every mattress is now made in the USA. They got a nice little product refresh over there. All you got to do is pop in the promo code DRINKINBROS at checkout for 50% off everything in the entire store. And it does not matter how many items you put in the goddamn cart at checkout. They're forced to give you 50% off over there. While you're there and you're checking out, you're going to see a 3-year pay-as-you-go program. No interest as long as you have decent credit over there, so stretch it out over 3 years, especially if you're not going to be alive. Pass that debt on to your kids. They'll love it, but you'll get to sleep in comfort, and that's what's most important. Go to GhostBed.com/drinking bros today. Next up, we've got firstform.com/drinking bros. You know I always talk about the microfactors. I sit on my desk every single day, and I take them. Otherwise, I would forget. Now, the key to remember about these microfactors, it's not just a multivitamin. It's a convenient daily packet with 6 products included in it that provides you what you need on a daily basis to be healthy. Because let's face it, we don't eat the way we need to in order to fulfill the demands of our body. Without getting the vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients in us consistently, we're going to struggle to reach any type of health or fitness goal, whether that be weight loss, putting on muscle, getting lean, or just overall being healthy. All right, what's in it? Well, you got the antioxidants, the multivitamins, the probiotics, the CoQ10s, the essential fatty acids in there, those EFAs that I'm always talking about, and the fruits and veggies. Everything you need to get the heart pumping, mind moving, and that dick working too. It's not in the copy, but I'm assuming that's what it does help with over there. While you're over there, check out their energy drinks. Best in the biz, in my opinion. They got new ones. They got all kinds of flavors and all that other stuff. They're the best, dude. They usually fly out of our refrigerator here at the office as soon as they get in. Huge fan of those. So go to firstform.com/drinkingbros today, where you're going to get free shipping on orders over $75. Again, that is firstform.com/drinkingbros. Free shipping on orders over $75. Next up, we got Joy Mode. Yeah. Talking about improving your sexual performance. Let's go. Go to usejoymode.com/drinkingbros and get 20% off with the code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. You know what I'm talking about here, kids. Yeah. A little sexual performance booster. I want to take a second to talk to you about sex, okay? Not only a podcast host, I'm also a sexual education teacher as well. Have you been having sex recently? Gentlemen, 15 minutes or less is great when you're talking about pizza delivery, but not when you're referring to your performance in the bedroom. if you want to grab a special someone out there, your first 10 performances have to be off the charts. You got to go full Springsteen in the fucking bedroom. That's why we partner with our good friends over at Joy Mode. Gone are the days of sketchy gas station erection pills and the worst kinds of side effects you can imagine. Talking about heart problems or those fucking headaches, dude. Holy shit. Took a Viagra once? God damn, man. It's a fucking 72-hour headache on those goddamn things. That's where Joy Mode comes in. Their sexual performance booster is an all-natural, science-backed supplement to give your disco stick all the tools it needs with nothing it doesn't. Simply mix this wonderful concoction with 6 to 8 ounces of water 45 minutes before sexual activity and watch the magic unfold literally in your jeans. Be the new sheriff in the bedroom and go to usejoymo.com for 20% off with the code Drinking Bros. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Drinking Bros at usejoymode.com. Ingredients with integrity. That's Joy Mode. Big fan of them, dude. Even if you just want to have fun on the weekend, kick back, throw that in a little water and see what happens. Or you can put it in the Hard AF Seltzer. Shit. Now that's a fucking game changer right there. Imagine pouring a little boner juice into some Hard AF Seltzer. You got the 8% flowing through your veins, and then you got the Joy Mode. What a fucking weekend, brother. Right now we're live in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, North Carolina, and Texas. We're in 50 HEBs here down in Texas. Every single Total Wines. Kroger down in Houston. All the Piggly Wigglies in Alabama. All the Total Wines in Florida. Wilmington, we're in that Total Wine and all those brunches over there. Georgia, we're expanding rapidly right now. We got a sales rep. And we got our own Ryan Mills working there in Georgia right now. Not Ryan himself. We hired another sales rep there. So we're loading up. I think we're in over 300 or 400 locations in Georgia right now. It'll be even more very, very soon. And we're looking to head out there in a few weeks and maybe have a little meet and greet with you guys and get wet at a tasting, throw out some swag and all that fun stuff. If you're out watching the games this weekend in Columbus, Ohio, hit up the bars, hit up the store locator over there on hardafseltzer.com. Type in your city or zip, and it'll tell you not only the bars and restaurants, but all the grocery stores, all the package stores, the convenience stores, everything. So if you're looking to go to that Frugal McDougal in Nashville, boom, it'll lead you right there. If you're looking to go to the Standard Hall on campus and Rage, Short North Pint House down there in Columbus, Ohio, you're good to go. Urban Myers Pint House out there in Dublin, Ohio, you're good to go. All of that's on the store locator. Now, if you don't live in one of those states or surrounding states, we still ship right to your house at hardafseltzer.com. Support us and support the show.
What do you reckon? An hour and a half drive from D.C.? Over to Baltimore?
In traffic.
Max, what traffic, right.
Yeah. I mean, it's been... been 12 hours.
And he's got a helicopter. He's a transportation
guy. That's right.
He's a transportation guy. He's got helicopters.
He's not taking Uber.
Maybe he'll take the train. Yeah. Who knows?
He's got a train.
Yeah.
You know.
Fucking A. Well,
that would be funny if he had his own train and he was a conductor. That's part of being Secretary of Transportation. You get your own train. That'd be dope.
He probably wears the hat.
I'd throw my name in for that.
He's probably got that huge block wooden whistle.
You get a Gatlinburg.
I love that whistle. I had like 9 of them as a kid. But the good news is with this girl getting chosen as VP, this definitely doesn't electrify the independent ticket at all. That's not somebody that's going to move the needle there for RFK.
But RFK's not an independent anyways.
Well, he's running as one, and that's the key. So even if you're some dummy out there who's 19, 20 years old, and you're like, I'm just voting independent, I don't think she's going to get you to go out there and check that box.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I agree with that.
But mail-in-wise, I'm sure they'll get a lot of mail-ins.
unfolded, perfectly machine-marked mail-ins.
Yeah. With just scribbled signatures on them as we go along. Is it frustrating for you to watch what's happening to the country? Or is that why you write so many books, is so you don't have to watch the news?
That's a great question relative to Phalanx Code, because part of Garrett Sinclair, who's the protagonist here, the general, part of his life's journey has been service to the nation. And there's a scene where he's in Arlington Cemetery visiting one of his fallen soldiers, and he turns around and he sees the Washington Monument and he thinks, you know, is that just a big giant middle finger to all of us on this side of the river, the political class, telling us all to go fuck off? And you think about it. Think about where we are today. The Uniparty, everybody in Congress getting rich, making millions off of insider whatever. You think about all of the men and women that have served and gone before us. And you know, Garrett Sinclair is of a point where, like, the only thing that really matters now are my family and my teammates and the American values that I hold dear, the Constitution. But as we drift away from that, and that's his big dilemma, men or mission gets big play in Phalanx Code. And so personally, there's a lot of me in that. And normally there's not a whole lot of me. You know, it's like, you know, it's all make-believe and I'm trying to entertain. I would say in the last couple of books, there's been a lot of this. I'll tell you, Ross, after Afghanistan, I had so many calls, texts, emails from fellow soldiers that served there, you know, a whole generation of troops served there 20 years, that said, sir, was it worth it?
Yep.
And I said, absolutely. You did your duty. You served your country. You're a good citizen. And I tried to reassure them, you know, suicide rates are crazy among veterans, right? But we don't, you know, nobody does anything. Nobody really cares. You know, it's all these illegals and all that that get all the attention. And I say nobody cares. A lot of people care. But at the end of the day, when I think about this disaffection that happened with Afghanistan, Biden really broke the country and the veteran community in a way that is manifesting itself in reenlistment rates right now that are historically low, right? He also broke NATO in a way that nobody talks about. When I was the undersecretary, we were talking daily, weekly with NATO members about adjusting troop levels. And what we always said, we came in together, we modified together, and we're going to leave together. And that was our solemn promise to them. We didn't leave together. Biden just said, yeah, let's leave. Austin didn't know what he was doing. He had purged all the boards, right? He didn't have any of the institutional knowledge like me that had served there. That, you know, Trump had appointed me to the Defense Policy Board. Austin purged all those lists. You know, there, Kissinger, Albright, and all them. He just purged all those lists of these prestigious boards, but important boards. And so he had all new people that thought they knew better and were arrogant. And they left 29 NATO nations to fend for themselves in Afghanistan. And so why do you think Blinken didn't negotiate with Putin as he's building along the border there? What unifies a broken entity, a divided entity, better than anything? And that's a common threat.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept scratching my head from September, October, November, December, January. There's no diplomacy happening from the United States. And I'm thinking,
well, anti-diplomacy was actually happening because there was a deal to stop that Russian invasion in place, right? And then we blew that up. And then there was another deal to stop it after it started.
Right.
And then what's his nuts? Boris Johnson left the meeting to go to fuck and go to go there and be like, no, we're not. And can't give up. You got to fight our fight, bud.
Right.
Well, I mean, Biden's, we're not going to help you.
And
nothing,
Biden says a minor incursion is cool, right? Remember that. He said, it, you know, just a minor incursion. Well, that's, you know, a whole different story. And so it's almost like, it's not almost like, there was no diplomacy. It was invited, a minor incursion. Come on, do it. And that has galvanized NATO in a way because of the common threat. And what does Biden say? Well, NATO's never been stronger, right? He broke NATO coming out of Afghanistan and needed that threat now. Was it deliberate? I don't think he's that smart, but it was an opportunity, a window of opportunity to, you know, what do they say? Never let a political crisis go to waste. So they severely screwed up Afghanistan. And then they get handed on a silver platter a way to reunify NATO with Russia coming in too. And then because with all the disinformation of the left, they've been able to successfully link Trump and Putin, though there's zero linkage whatsoever. And so by having Putin every day in Ukraine and being able to say he's a bad guy, by extension, they're saying Trump's a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And people equate Trump and Putin. Putin's bad, Trump's bad, they're all Hitler, that kind of thing. And it's just, it's a way to dehumanize, it's a way to manipulate, it's a way to divide and conquer the American people.
Well, let's look at the last 4 years here for the military in particular. What you were talking about, the historic low levels of people enlisting. You started off with COVID. We had a couple of listeners who were in the studio who were talking about what it was like being in the Navy and how they were just trapped on ships for 9 months.
Right.
And they weren't allowed to port. They weren't allowed to do anything. They had to wear masks inside the submarines, even though some of them didn't have masks. And I was like, what did you do? And they were like, well, they just told us to tie a shirt around our face. You know, like something like that. I was like, no shit. There's no way. Yeah, and they were like, yeah. So that's dating back to, 2020 and everything going forward. Then you have all the DEI bullshit that was introduced.
Right.
And then it seems like half the leaders in the military are trans now or something. Like, who's the one dude they always show from the Biden administration who's now become the woman?
That's Health and Human Services. Yeah, Rachel Levine.
Uniform like that?
Technically, yeah. That's not a real thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's an appointed admiral, basically.
Why are they wearing the outfit then every day?
Well, the same reason that fucking North Korea does it.
Right.
Just because it looks cool?
Well, the he/she is authorized to wear the uniform because, as Dan said, it's an appointed. You're immediately, even though you were never in the military, because you're in that position, you're immediately granted like 3-star admiral.
Oh, gotcha. Rank. So for people like me who are civilians, when I look at someone like that, I thought they served and it was an important position and everything else, but that's what the appearance gives the rest of us and Gen Pop here who have no idea what that is.
Part of the info op, and that's the second reason you see this person on TV so much is to create that impression, right? And then there are...
Yeah, because I thought they served, whatever the fuck we're calling that person. But like I thought for sure.
This person was the Pennsylvania Health and Human Services person and then got appointed to this position by Biden. And because of that appointment, regardless of not serving, you are granted admiralship. And I'm sure I'm screwing something up, so don't ding me for it.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, I screwed up whether he's got a dick or not. Who cares?
right. So anyway, that's that. And then, I have always said, if someone raises their right hand to serve, good on them. Mentally, physically fit, let them go serve. I don't care who you sleep with, who you love, who you don't love. If you can carry a rucksack and a machine gun and a radio, go for it.
Right.
And that's all I give a shit about, right? If you're going to stand in the foxhole and return fire or initiate the ambush, that's all I care about. And what they've been using some of these people, trans, leaders, colonels, et cetera. There's a recruiting video, some video out there.
I saw it on TikTok.
It was like, you need to, be very outward. My real problem with this is that, they want everything in your face. And I'm like, it doesn't need to be, it doesn't need to be in your face. Just shut up, quiet, professional, serve, execute, do your duty, and don't shove it down everybody's throat, right? And this person said, being open with the trans community and all that makes us fight better. And I'm like, well, that's bullshit. What makes you fight better is going to Mojave Desert, training against an opposing force for 2 or 3 weeks, puking, fighting, running, PT, and then you wrap your kit up and you go deploy and you kick ass. That's what makes you fight better. It's not any of this stuff, because I'll tell you, troops in the foxhole, they don't give a shit what you are. as long as you're going to cover fire for them. That's the end of the discussion. And all this high level bullshit is just bullshit.
Yeah. And then obviously you had the Afghan pullout, which was the Afghanistan pullout, which was awful.
Yeah.
On top of that, how do they turn it around? Or let's say Trump gets back in office in November. How does he turn it around from what has happened over the last 4 years?
Well, I think there's a lot of policies that he needs that first day to institute. One is we need to become energy independent again. And I mention that first because that allows us to dial down our presence in the Middle East. We don't need those people over there if we don't need that oil. The world needs that oil, and so we got to have some. Remember, maintain a navy. We got to have that. We got to have that presence over there, making sure those shipping lanes are open. But we don't need spear catchers over there, just sitting at FOBs, forward operating bases, and catching missiles. So that's step one. Step two: all the stuff he was doing on the border 4 years ago, we need to do on the border again. And in addition to the things that he's talked about with regard to like the 10 million people that have been added to this country in the last, couple of years. We need to do something about that. And then from a macro military standpoint, we've got to get back to America first, pride in the country, unify the country, not divide the country. Because what this administration has learned is that the more they can divide in the subdivisions, whether it's trans or gay or white or black or Islamic or not Islamic, Jewish, Christian, the more they can divide and make people hate each other, the more chance they have of being in power. We need a leader that's going to unify the country, that's going to bring people together as much as humanly possible in today's era, and focus us on being successful as a nation, not focus us on being successful as a group of divided tribes. And that's, or not even being successful, just that we are a group of divided tribes. We need to come together as a nation to the extent possible, and we need a leader that's going to do that. And I think Trump's that guy.
Look, I love Trump, and I'm voting for him. I voted for him the last two times. I'll vote for him again this fall. I think the issue with him is the media has already divided divide.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when he gets back in, if he gets back in, I don't know how that changes because the hatred and the vitriol, all of that stuff will be there again. No matter what he does, that's great because the 4 years he was in, pretty fucking great. It was rich as I've ever been, for Christ's sakes.
Right,
as far as taking care of my family and grocery bills and everything else,
right,
things were great. Buying new houses, cars, all that other stuff was great. But the media and in particular individuals, the way that they've painted him, some won't even have the conversation or hear it that he's going to get back in. And they're just like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. Even if he does, I still don't know that he unifies the country because there is a hard 50% that just hate him no matter what.
I don't think anybody's going to unify the country. What I'm saying is that we need a message that is about American unity, about American pride, about America. We are a great country. And all this administration doing is pointing out, faults and problems and all of that and pitting people against each other. We need to bring people together as much as possible with a unifying message. And what that message does in my mind is it brings across that 5% independent that says, yeah, I'd rather live in a country that's led by somebody that has a vision for America, placing America first, as opposed to a vision for Ukraine, placing Ukraine first, or a vision for Guatemala, placing Guatemalans first. And that's what we have right now. And so I think people see it's not working. And I think Trump's running a pretty decent campaign right now, to be honest with you.
Well, he's in court every day, so one might say that keeps him off of social media. But that's about it. I mean, look, he's got another trial coming up here.
14th of April or some shit.
Yeah. So
speaking of all that, by the way, the president of Mexico announced yesterday that the migrants are going to keep coming until America bends to his demands. I'm not sure what his demands are.
I watched it. So he was on actually 60 Minutes talking about it. And he said he wants funding for not only Mexico, but poorer countries. And he says what we need to do, what America, needs to do first is give $50 billion apiece to Central America and I want to say part of South America, some of the poorer countries. Then that'll fix their poverty, and then they won't want to leave their countries to come into the United States.
Another thing we could do is put overlapping sectors of fire on the border with M240 Bravo machine guns.
Yeah.
And anybody that tries to illegally enter, like they just stormed over our National Guard the other day, shoot them in the fucking face.
That's it.
That'll stop it.
That's it. Just one hardcore massacre would be, that would be a way to stop it.
It worked in Saudi Arabia.
It's working in every country. Every country has done it except for us. Shit, man. Even getting off the boat in Jamaica, for Christ's sakes, with a passport as a white kid in college, I got my asshole checked.
Yeah, if you fly to Rome right now, to Fiumicino Airport in Rome, you get off, go through customs, and there are a bunch of police officers walking around with fucking MP5 machine guns, submachine guns.
Yeah.
Right? Here we have people that used to work at McDonald's in blue uniforms. You know what I mean? Like, it's seriously minimum wage people, TSA. Oh, I feel so secure.
Yeah.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that we are the dumbest motherfuckers of all time. Because, like, if you look at what America did, the United States of America, as Tim Shee likes to say, unleashed the power of the individual like no other country has in human history. And what's the result? A GDP that's double our closest competitor. So the results are in, folks. We're better.
Yeah. And it could work. But back to your point about that, the Jamaica story is real, by the way. I got pulled out of line for, I had a Grateful Dead patch on a backpack. And I was like, if that's enough to pull you out of line, one would think the illegals coming across the border here would be a top priority for us, but it isn't. And
by the way, they just did a press conference like half an hour ago, finally.
Oh, Pete did?
After 13 and a half hours.
Good for him.
Yeah, so congratulations, bud.
Yeah, I'm looking did here. It says he showed up with 400 wooden popsicle sticks. And he said, if we glue these together, we can fix the bridge faster.
Mm.
I'm kidding. That would have been awesome, though. I don't know what he said. Well, I'm curious to hear. I'll definitely listen to it tonight, but good for him.
Maybe he was listening to us and said, I better get my ass out there.
Yeah, and I'm sure he listens to the show.
I'm sure he's a big fan.
I know the Pentagon used to print out everything I had to say. I don't know if they still do or not, now that they've changed leadership over there a little bit, but I doubt Mayor Pete does.
No.
He probably listens to, what's that dumbass show on NPR, All Things Considered?
Oh yeah. He's a big NPR guy.
That
for
seems
sure.
like more his jam, yeah.
For sure. Look, we appreciate you being here today. Congratulations on another book.
Yeah. Thanks. Phalanx Code. Probably best thing I've ever written. That's what I'm being told. But I really appreciate the opportunity to chat, Dan and Ross, and with the Drinking Bros.
Here. No, and we appreciate you bringing us copies. Can I get you to sign it for me leave? I appreciate it. Now is the point in the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Make it different from the last time, all right?
Well, my Drinking Bro of the Week would be my high school baseball coach, Coach Ray Barlow. And Coach Barlow, he left us at 62 with prostate cancer. But the baseball, we won 5 state championships under him. And he galvanized my community that I grew up in. And we hold a golf tournament in his honor every year in Virginia Beach. And we give half the proceeds to Eastern Virginia Medical College prostate cancer research. And we fund 2 $10,000 scholarships for the high school that we attended, the 2 best scholar athletes on the baseball team. And he touched so many lives. I came back from Afghanistan. I was still in my uniform. The third baseman called me and said, Tony, you need to get down to Virginia Beach. Coach is not good. Well, and I had no idea he was sick. I get there. I'm still in my uniform from D.C. They walk. The line was like an amusement park line. This guy touched so many lives. And I get to the front of line. I just had my first book come out, Sudden Threat. And I wrote this inscription. I said, Coach, read this and we'll talk in a week. And he just started crying. He said, Tony, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. You know, I completely lost it. But that man, other than my parents, changed my life more than anybody.
What position did you play?
Middle infielder, shortstop, second base.
Any good?
I was decent. Oh. Turned a triple play in a state championship game.
No shit.
Yeah.
Unassisted?
Yeah. It was short, shortstop. Tags the bases loaded, shortstop ground ball, tags the runner, flips it to me. I turn it, get it to first base, and it was a legit triple play.
Wow. So how many rings did you get?
I played on two of those five teams.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah, look at you. Now you're a big fancy author.
Yeah.
You're everywhere, just shutting off the news. Just get off the news, you know? It's impossible, though.
It is.
It's impossible. Buy the book. It is out everywhere right now. Amazon's the quickest. It'll be at your house in 48 hours. 91% of book sales are from Amazon, by the way. And they'll just drop that off right on your doorstep in less than 48 hours. So they've done a good job with it. Whoever is doing your artwork is fantastic as well.
Yeah, I love this cover. Probably my favorite cover of all the 16 books I've had.
Big fan. Please go and check out his new book and the others as well. You're welcome back anytime, sir.
Thanks, team. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Podcast. Good.